I'm the committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Police. I declare this meeting open. We all heard the good news that the former chairperson has been employed or deployed as the deputy minister, and now the committee has to elect an acting chairperson. I will give members the floor for nomination. Thank you. Ms. Mulebatsi.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Or should I say Secretary? I'm sorry. On behalf of the African National Congress, I wish to nominate the name of Annelies van Wyk as the Acting Chair. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Mulebatsi. Honourable Kolabana.
Hi. I would like to nominate Barbara Ndlovu as our most senior member to sit in the chair until such time as we have one appointed. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Member. Honourable George. Honourable George, but I was still looking for other nominations. Any other nominations? Okay. Honourable George has moved to second the nomination of Honourable Van Wyk. May I have members to raise their hands, those who support that secondment? Those who support the nomination of Honourable Van Wyk, may I have their hands up, please? I have four who support Honourable Van Wyk. May I have those who support Honourable Ndlovu have their hands? Then we have only one member, that is Honourable Kolabana. Thanks, Honourable Members. I would ask Honourable Van Wyk to take the seat of the chairperson. Thank you very much.
As the Secretary has indicated, this is just an interim arrangement, and I will be acting until the final decision has been taken on this matter and until the committee has appointed a permanent chairperson. Thanks for the support. I think most of us come for many years, and the intention is in any case that we continue to work the way we have done. There will be no letting go of the pedal. We will continue to be as robust in our approach to the police, in our oversight to the police, and on those other bodies that are reporting to this portfolio committee. I think yesterday's press conference by the President paved a new road and a new beginning for the police. Not only cabinet, but definitely for the police. Not only did he announce the new national commissioner, and for the first time it is a female national commissioner, but also the appointment of the chairperson, previous chairperson of this committee, as the deputy minister of transport. I think on behalf of this committee, and I did ask the Honourable Chikunga to see whether she can't come to the committee today, that we can at least say goodbye to her as well. I did ask her when I spoke to her that she must at least try and come to the committee so that we can say goodbye to her. I think the Honourable Chikunga, all of us are in agreement, whether you are of the party of Honourable Chikunga or whether you are from the opposition, that the Honourable Chikunga brought a special energy to this committee. And she brought an oversight based on principle, and one that I think many other committees are aspiring to. While we are glad for the Honourable Chikunga and that we believe she deserves this position, 1,000% over, and that we believe she would add to the value of the work of Cabinet. This committee will surely miss her presence, her leadership, and her commitment to the work of this committee. We wish her well in her new endeavours, and we are sure that in future our paths will cross again, but from this committee side we would just like to wish her well. Can we also relay our congratulations to the new National Commissioner, Commissioner, now I am trying the pronunciation, Angie Pieha. She was born in Polokwane and received her primary and secondary education in various schools in Limpopo. I've got here, so look, we can just give the members copies of her CV as well. She holds a BA social work degree from the University of the North, a BA honours in social science from UNISA, and an MA social science degree from the University of Johannesburg, and a postgraduate diploma in business administration from Wales University in Cardiff. She also attended executive development program at the National University of Singapore and Wharton University, Pennsylvania in the US. She was previously group executive of Absa Bank Limited. She chaired all pay boards of Gauteng and Eastern Cape. She was also a board member of Absa Actuaries, chair of Godswela Trust, and trustee of Absa Foundation. She was group executive at Transnet. She was a member of the executive committee and attending member of the Transnet board. She served on numerous Transnet subsidiary boards and chaired the production house Transmint and Petronet, which is with Trust. She was also board member of Connex Travel as well as trustee of the Transnet Foundation. She's part of a team of senior executives that was responsible for the restructuring of the old port net, got quite a long history in the executive of the National Ports Authority of South Africa. She championed the establishment of the international relations and maritime sector. She became a member of the board and committees of the International Association for Ports and Harbour, as well as the Port Management Association for Eastern Southern Ports. During this period, she chaired the committee that organized the first international conference for ports and harbors hosted on the African continent. Community development, engagement, and empowerment add color to her career. In the community development area, she served as a director for development at the National Council for Child Welfare. She started her career in Pretoria Child Welfare. She spent some few years at the Chamber of Mines as an employee well-being consultant. Recent times, she was appointed as chairperson of the Presidential-owned Enterprise Review Committee. The committee was tasked with the responsibility of reviewing state-owned entities and to make recommendations for their future repositioning. She's also current vice-chairperson, this might interest members of Parliament, vice-chairperson for the Independent Commission for Remuneration for Public Office Bearers. She chaired the Road Traffic Management Corporation Investigation Task Team, which looked into maladministration, corruption, and poor corporate governance. The task team made major interventions and restructuring recommendations to the Minister of Transport, assisting to put the agency on a fresh footing. She served in other significant national structures, amongst which are board of the member of the 2010 Bid Committee. She received a prize for that. She was a commissioner for the Commission of the Road Accident Fund, led by the Judge Fatchwell, that made recommendations into equitable, reasonable, and accessible system of payments by the Road Accident Fund. She was also chairperson of the National Welfare Forum. She was a member of two university councils, namely Madunsa and University of Limpopo. She also served on the council committees of the Technikon Witwatersrand and Tshwane University of Technology. She is offering her services to several NGO boards, notable among which are the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund and the South African Trust. She's also very much involved in women empowerment as a member of the International Women's Forum of South Africa, coach and mentor, linked to mentoring programs of various organizations, including, amongst others, the Association for Black Security and Investment Professionals, International Women's Forum, African Women Chartered Accountants, and the Grace Michelle Scholarship. She's a chairperson of the Lay's Forum of her church. She believes in personal transformation and seeks to drive it through motivational speaking and coaching others. She has received recognition awards for leadership in business, community development, and women initiatives. She's driven by what she calls the ISE philosophy, integrity, service to others, before self and excellence. She's a wife, mother, and grandmother. Now, as members of this committee, we know the challenges that we have faced with management of SOPs. And we know that as a portfolio committee, we have often raised the fact that we believe that the current challenge in SOPs is, in fact, management. Whether it is at national level, whether it's at provincial level, or whether it's at station level. What is clear from the CV of Ms. Pieha is the fact that she's got management skills that nobody can question. We wish her well. We know it's going to be a big, big, big challenge. SAP is a challenge. We assure her of the support of this committee in this challenge. And we are knowing that it's not going to be easy. And we will keep her and her team as accountable as we did every other team before her as well. Members, with that, can Honourable Koolabond?
Yeah, I would just like to say that from the Democratic Alliance's side, certainly we welcome her appointment. We've waited for so long to see the back of Becky Pele. We welcome that too. But I think her CV is extremely impressive when it comes to management. I think that's going to give the management level at SAPS a huge boost. But again, I'm reserving my judgment until we see her in the position and we see that she can pull the rank and file SAPS members along with her, because of course the difficulty is she's going from civilian to general overnight. And I'm fearing that might cause the problem, which is why I've all along called for the promotion of a career police officer. I know there are a lot of possibly disgruntled and sad police officers today who were not considered for the post and perfectly capable of completing that. So congratulations to her, and I'll be looking forward to meeting her in this portfolio committee.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Chair. I must say, firstly, let me take this opportunity to congratulate our former chairperson. I believe she deserves. She's a hard-working lady. She has been committed to her work, and I wish her well in her new job as the Deputy Minister of Transport. I also want to welcome the appointment of Mangwashi Victoria Ria Pierre. If you look at the CV is extremely expressive. But I must be honest, Madam Chair, I've said it this. I am very worried that this time I thought the President and the Executive will see it fit to try one of the policemen as a National Commissioner. A policeman or a policewoman. You see, I don't subscribe to this notion. I know, I've been in this community previously, I know there's poor management in the police. But I don't think appointing people outside the police has helped. I believe that surely amongst all those policemen and women at head office, there should have been one person. The other thing, you see, if you take one of them, it will be easy for that one to get the support which he or she deserves. But if you go and take somebody from outside, I can tell you, you must understand they are human beings. They are beginning to ask themselves, is there something wrong with us?
George, I'm going to allow you to make comments and congratulations, but the appointment of the commissioner, I haven't opened it up for debate. You might have your own opinions, and that's fine to say you are questioning.
No. Thank you very much.
Just one second. We are going to, and I'm just waiting for confirmation of when the minister will also come and introduce the new commissioner to the committee.
Okay, thank you very much. But as I'm saying, I said it when Becky Pele was appointed, and she, I know outside, she said, I didn't know that you don't like me so much. But it had nothing to do with him as a person. But where has it ended? I can give history. How Philippe was launched by the police.
Mr. George, I'm asking you again, please.
Oh, thank you very much.
Mr. Garibrand, thank you.
Well, Chairperson, we as a portfolio committee are in one way disappointed to lose a very capable and competent chairperson. She has definitely left big shoes. Whoever is coming must be warned that there are big shoes waiting for that person. While we are happy for her that she has been promoted, while we congratulate her, transport department is gaining while we are losing. And we are definitely going to meet her. About the appointment of the National Commission, obviously we don't have the choice now. It is a done deal. Our preference obviously would have been a career policeman. And I've spoken on behalf of Divisional Commissioner Mkhwanazi. I thought he was doing a great job, but the President has made his decision. We just have to support the newly appointed National Commissioner. Thank you.
Reverend, oh, sorry, Reverend, that comes from calling you Reverend all the time. Sorry, Honourable Ndlovu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will become a Reverend at a later stage. Well, Chairperson, I must firstly congratulate our former Chairperson to be appointed to be a Deputy Minister in the Transport Department. I hope they will make use of her skills because she is very good in she's a hands-on person and everything. And she is a very good person and she works very hard on behalf of the people. And secondly, Chairperson, we welcome the new appointment by the President. Although we were willing that he will appoint the professional police person, but it's a prerogative of the President to appoint a commissioner. Therefore, we will wait and see, and we will work with the new commissioner and try to assist him or her in everything, whatever what she is doing, and make sure that she accounts to us and she accounts to Parliament of what she's been done. She's been doing within the police service. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join my colleagues in expressing our gratitude in the promotion of our chairperson. Yes, it is a great loss for the portfolio committee, but we are definitely sure it is a big gain for the transport committee. And with those few words, I'd like to wish her well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, I do apologize. I
can I just say thank you to members and then I'll acknowledge you? Willibon.
I do apologize. I was so taken with the Minister. I just wanted to put it on record that, indeed, we have to congratulate Cindy Chikunga. I remember saying to her, long ago, you will be a minister, and very soon, if anyone up there is straight thinking, and I admire her beyond anything, and I think she will be such a loss to this committee. I did speak to her extensively yesterday, and she was surprised, I think is the word I need to use. She was quite shocked, and such a humble person, I would have expected that from her. I think she'll do a splendid job, but really, what a loss. To this committee. So thank you, Cindy. On record, you were perfect in this position. Thank you.
Thank you. We will definitely relay the messages to the Honourable Chikunga and also to the new commissioner. Hopefully the Honourable Chikunga will be able to join us later so that we can relay our messages in person to her. Members, before we go over to the DNA presentation, there was a meeting scheduled for Friday that we wanted to deal with the intelligence issue as well as the suspensions issue. I have been requested by the office of the minister, and I think in light also of the fact that we all have a new appointment as commissioner, whether we can't delay that meeting, because he wants to, first of all, he's got a meeting with national management of SAPS to introduce the commissioner to them, and we also want to give the new commissioner an opportunity to get her own head around the topic at hand and then come to us. And as I indicated earlier as well, I'm waiting for confirmation from Minister's office, and hopefully before the end of this meeting I will be able to inform members when the new commissioner will be introduced to us by the Minister. So I'm just waiting for that confirmation. So if members agree with that, then we will then not have a meeting on Friday, and we will not take it off our agenda, we will just postpone it. It seems like there's a problem global.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Can I give over to the Secretariat, who must now take us through the DNA policy. It's a policy that we've been long waiting for and been put under a lot of pressure. So we're glad to see the policies here today, and hopefully the next part of the process will be the bill itself. So can I give over to you that you can just take us through the policy, please.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks. Members of the committee, just quickly I'll introduce the Civilian Secretariat for Police Delegation, and then I'll just ask Major General Shezi to introduce the SAPS Delegation. I'm Jenny Irish Kaboshiani, the Secretary of Police. Next to me on my list is Bilkis Omar, who is the head of our Policy and Research Unit. And next to her is Dr. Mantiba Maklani, who is a director in the Policy and Research Unit, and behind is a new member who has joined the team. Has previously was working in SABRIC on research. Mark Rogers, who is also a director, and obviously Mr. Mawate, people would know as the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Secretary. I'll just ask Major General Shezi to introduce the delegation from SAPS before.
Thank you, Chair. Major General Shezi, I'm the Head of Quality Management. I'm acting on behalf of General Pashani, who is currently on leave. He'll be coming back on the 3rd of July. With me on my left is Brigadier South, the Head, Section Head, Project Planning and Strategic Management from the Office of General Pashani. Next to him on the left is Brigadier Mangale, is the Section Head, Criminalistic Bureau, handling the fingerprinting part of the bill. Next to her, to him, it's Brigadier Mshabi Toko, the Section Head, Biology Unit, under which the DNA policy will be directly impacted. Next to Brigadier Mshabi is Brigadier Manamela, newly appointed Section Head, Quality Manager for the CR and CSM environment, will be dealing with the crime scene management issues, establishing new policies there, as well as following the quality management there. And next
Major General, sorry, can I ask you to speak a bit slow, because you also speak in abbreviation, because half of us are not understanding.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. Next to Brigadier Manamela. Must I start again? No? Slow. Okay. Start. Eight to the mark. There you are. Okay. Okay, I won't start with me. I'll start with Brigadier Trout. She's the Section Head, Project Planning and Strategic Management from the Office of the General Pashani. And next to her is Brigadier Mangale, researcher. He's the Section Head, Criminalistic Bureau. He is responsible for the implementation of the fingerprinting part of the act. This bill is now an act that has been passed already. Next to Brigadier Mangale is Brigadier Toko Mshabi. Brigadier Toko Mshabi is the Section Head, Biology Unit, the division. The DNA policy will impact the environment directly. Next to Brigadier Toko is Brigadier Tili Manamela, newly appointed. She started with us the 1st of April, 1st of March, literally from Division Personnel Services. She is the Head Quality Management at the CR and CSM environment. She'll be implementing the new policies or quality management policies in the crime scenes and the crime scene laboratories and throughout the whole component CR and CSM. Next to Brigadier Tilly Manamela is Brigadier Judy Allen. Brigadier Judy Allen is the Section Head, Chemistry Section of the Forensic Lab, responsible for, among other things, drugs and drugs and more drugs rather than the talks. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honourable Members. I'm going to hand over to Ms. Omar, who's going to actually take you through the policy. Quickly, by word of introduction, this policy has been developed jointly with the SAPS Forensic Science Services. So it's something which I think everybody in this room is familiar with. There would be areas that would be quite technical, and we would also ask the FSS to come in when there are highly technical issues. In the development of this, the policy is aimed at basically being able to bring legislation with regard to the DNA and to address the issue when the Criminal Procedure Forensic Amendment Bill was split, to now deal with the second half of that split. What we have done through this policy process is also to take serious cognizance of the Portfolio Committee's visit overseas, and we had significant engagements, I think, with the report of the Portfolio Committee on the outcome of their international trip, and with the state law advisors who accompanied the Portfolio Committee on that trip. So I am going to hand over to Ms. Omar to actually present the policy. But just quickly before, the South African Police Service, FSS, have done an implementation plan. I know it's not on the agenda, but copies of that plan are available, and maybe Major General Shehu would just want to make a few comments on the implementation aspect of things at the end of the policy. Thanks.
Thank you, Secretary. Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. As the Secretary indicated, I will be talking to you today on the policing policy on the establishment and administration of a national DNA database. I also tend to talk fast, so please stop me. In terms of the outline of the presentation, we have a background and introduction, a methodology of the study, then the current practice of storing DNA profiles at the Forensic Science Lab, and then the policy considerations on establishing the National DNA Database, and a conclusion. Now, in relation to the background, we note that the establishment of the National DNA Database comes out of the criminal justice revamp process approved by Cabinet. Legislation was drafted and presented to the Portfolio Committee. It was called the Criminal Procedures Forensic Amendment Bill. The Portfolio Committee, however, felt that more work was required before a DNA database could be established in legislation. And the following presentation will deal with the issues that have arisen regarding implementation of a national DNA database, as well as the police's implementation of the database. Now, we know that many countries acknowledge the need and importance of national DNA databases and the benefits this brings to law enforcement. But DNA, we know, is not the only source of evidence, and a DNA database cannot replace efficient police investigations. But importantly, in establishing a national DNA database for South Africa, it is imperative to take into account people's constitutional rights as well as the practicalities involved in implementing a database. The method of the study, we undertook international and legislative reviews, and we also conducted interviews, like the Secretary mentioned. In relation to the international scan, apart from the study towards UK and Canada trips, we looked at the USA, Netherlands, as well as Brazil. We looked at relevant legislation, and then in terms of interviews, we interviewed the DNA project, as well as the state law advisors, like the Secretary indicated, and we worked extensively with the SAPS Forensic Science Service and the Forensic Science Lab. We also received input from the South African Society for Human Genetics and then the University of Western Cape Department of Criminal Procedure on human rights issues. Just on the current practice of storing DNA profiles, a DNA repository is presently administered by the biology section of the Forensic Science Lab, which is a component of the Forensic Science Service. Now, at a crime scene, once a sample is analyzed, the DNA profile is generated, and this is housed in a repository. And the profiles are used on a case-by-case basis. Now, the current repository has two crime indices. It's got a crime scene index as well as a reference index. The reference index, the profiles consist of 92,760 profiles, and the crime scene index, there are 78,200 profiles. However, it's well and good to have a DNA repository, but the data on the repository is not adequately guided by clear legislation, and this is the crux of the matter and the purpose of our DNA legislation. We inherently want to create a national DNA-based database, as envisaged, like I said earlier, in the criminal justice revamp, which will allow, but also to regulate it and have it legislated, which will allow the police a tool to use for criminal intelligence purposes, and which will assist in the investigation and detection of criminals. Now, in writing this policy, we needed to address quite a few gaps in the current existing legislation, and the following slides that I'm going to speak to the key areas that were identified and then with recommendations. Now, on the accreditation of the SAPS Forensic Science Lab, we know that the SAPS Lab is not currently accredited, and we are recommending that accreditation is fundamental and will provide assurance of technical competence to courts, which will result in cases being less likely to be contested or questioned in courts. And the SAPS Forensic Science Lab have, however, indicated to us that they have embarked on a roadmap to accreditation. In relation to the custodianship and administration of the DNA database, the policy explored three options. We looked at privatization, we looked at the Section 21 company, and then the state, particularly the Forensic Science Lab. And thus far, all our explorations have found that all countries internationally, or the ones that we looked at rather, the databases are national competencies. Now, our option is to lean towards locating the database in the SAPS Forensic Science Service, because the current DNA already exists there. It includes all the administrative structures. It's got the skilled and trained staff, and like I said earlier, it's already got 170,000 profiles within the repository. And we're not going the route of privatization and the Section 21 company because of the financial costs related to this. In relation to the indices or the categories of profiles on the database, now, as I mentioned earlier, the repository at the Forensic Science Lab currently has a crime scene index as well as a reference index. And in this reference index, there are profiles of victims and suspects. Now, the Portfolio Committee study to a report has recommended three indices. That's the crime scene index, the convicted offender index, and the elimination index. And we're also recommending the three, but in addition to that, we're recommending two more indices. That's the volunteers index, where we say the volunteers' profile should be input in there for exclusionary purposes, but we're also recommending that the victims' profiles from the current reference index be input into the volunteers' index. And then we're also recommending an arrestees' index, and this arrestees' index will house the profiles of arrested and charged suspects, and not all suspects, and that is to minimize abuse, potential abuse. In relation to the size of the DNA database, we are saying it should be limited to the five indices I mentioned upstairs in the slide previously, and it's on the slide. Sorry, there's an error there. It should read elimination index. There's two volunteers index, I think. So yes, we want to limit it to the five indices: the arrestees index, the volunteers index, the crime scene index, the convicted offender index, and the elimination index. Now, we know that a large database does not guarantee better chances of crime solving as effective police investigations would do. But we think that a larger database will ensure chances of a comparative hit for crime intelligence purpose, and this remains great and is ultimately our purpose. In relation to authorization of sample collection, who should be allowed to collect reference, and I'm specifically speaking to reference samples with the use of buccal swabs here. Current practice is that medical practitioners collect blood and semen samples, and the police do breathalyzer tests. This includes the Metro Police. We're recommending that authorized members, that is, appointed police personnel appropriately trained in DNA sample collection, who undergo assessments and are certified competent, be allowed to collect reference samples. Our suggestion is this will increase the collection capacity, it will reduce time delays and avoid secondary victimization also. But it's also not practical for medical personnel to be available at all reference sample collection points. Well, in relation to the collections point and where reference samples should be collected, we recommend, just like Canada, that authorized police officers be allocated special rooms at courts as well as at specific police stations. But these police stations have to be accredited, and the police station should be selected by an oversight body, which I will talk to later, and the sub-forensic officials. In this way, the individual's right to privacy is still guaranteed. Now, we are also suggesting that the reference samples are to be collected at the time of arrest, when fingerprints and photos are being taken. With regard to the retention, destruction, and expungement of samples and profiles, and please note I'm talking about samples as well as profiles, there is a difference here. Crime scene samples, we know, cannot be destroyed and must be retained indefinitely for evidentiary purposes. With regard to particular DNA profiles, we are saying these, the profiles of innocent people may be, should be expunged. Other profiles like those of arrestees, elimination, those at the, in the elimination index and the of convicted offenders should be are required for reference purposes and potential investigative leads. And then in relation to arrestees or the suspect sample, we say that this needs to be retained for a certain length of time for it to be analyzed and to be checked beyond the closure of the case. And then we had to look at time frames for the retention, destruction of DNA samples and profiles. And once again, I'm speaking to samples and profiles here. We're saying with regard to the arrestees' profiles, if the person is acquitted or there's no conviction, the expungement must take place within 6 months. But if the arrestee is guilty, or if the person is guilty, the profile should remain on the database. On the elimination profiles, we are recommending that it remain indefinitely for the detection of personnel contamination, and here I'm talking about forensic scientists and those who work with the crime, the evidence, and all cold case investigations. On the convicted offenders profile, we are recommending that expungement take place 6 years after release if no other hits are recorded. And I think that the time frame allows enough gap to re-offend, but the international time frame is 5 to 10 years, and in some countries, in serious and violent crimes, expungement takes place after 12 to 14 years. In regard to volunteers' profiles, we are recommending that expungement take place after 3 months as these are searched against a particular crime, and that the victim's profiles to be expunged immediately after finalization of a case. And then just on crime scene samples, as I mentioned earlier, this should remain indefinitely on the database. In relation to human rights, now any proposed legislation we are saying that has to fall within the parameters of the Constitution, and we know issues of human rights violations were raised at the previous hearings of the bill. So in relation to human rights, we're looking at 5 years, but we do have more in the policy. In relation to the rights of human dignity, the issues that were raised here were methods of collecting sample and the police use of force. And in this regard, we are recommending the use of buckle swabs that do not violate the individual's rights of a person and is practiced internationally. Incidentally, there have been no challenges, court challenges internationally as well. And in relation to the police use of force, our earlier recommendation that police, authorized police be trained, we think will prevent police use of force. On the right to privacy, the issue here was particularly the retention of profiles, and as I mentioned in the previous slide, the DNA samples and profiles of innocent and acquitted persons will be expunged, so we're not envisaging any court challenges there. On relation to information stored in the database, we think that the legislation to safeguard against any unauthorized actors, access, similarly, genetic information to be securely recorded and monitored. And then another privacy issue that was raised, which I mentioned earlier, was the place where the sample will be collected, and I've already mentioned that we are recommending that special courts, special rooms at courts and police stations be allocated for this purpose. With regard to the right to bodily and psychological integrity, I've mentioned that the use of buccal swab to collect saliva sample is non-invasive and would not infringe on a person's right, and we're recommending that. On the rights of children, which is a big issue, we're suggesting that the DNA legislation should be aligned with the Child Justice Act as well as the fingerprint legislation, And even in cases where minors' DNA has been submitted voluntarily, like in missing children's cases, we are recommending that provision must be made to avoid the DNA used in the criminal investigations. And in the balancing the rights of individuals to the safety of communities, this was a difficult one because you have to take into right individuals and the communities. And in this regard, we think the legislation must provide adequate safeguards such as punitive penalties for abuse of the DNA database, the roles and responsibilities of the oversight body, as recommended in this policy, and I'll talk to that later, will ensure adherence to statutory obligations. And in the end, it's ultimately left to the public to decide if any violations have come to pass. Just other issues on, in relation to the national database. We are recommending that the national DNA database be linked to the AFIS system, even though there is no direct link to the, between the two. But we think that it will expand the criminal intelligence tool and it will improve the ability of the to identify potential linkages sooner. On IT solutions, I'm sure the SAPs have a lot to say on this in this regard, but we are recommending CODIS to be utilized as a database software, as this was specifically developed for DNA databases and is used internationally and is free as well. We looked at the role of other departments like health, home affairs, correctional services, justice, and the SAPs, and the fact that they all have a role to play in this establishment of the national DNA database. And we're suggesting that before protocols between the relevant departments be finalized when implementation of the legislation is adopted, but also consultations to be done prior to passing of legislation. We should do the legwork before the legislation is adopted. We're recommending that there should be two phases of of implementation of 18 months each, and the first phase should look at, after the legislation is adopted obviously, that an oversight body to be established with rules and regulations be put in place, that the SAP Forensic Science Service begin training of existing human resource capacity and undertake further recruiting. We're also recommending identified police stations be accredited during this phase and then particular functions of the biology section be decentralized for sample collection. Awareness campaigns have to be conducted. The collection of convicted person samples in all prisons will begin during this phase, and then collection of samples of other industries to also begin. In phase two of the implementation, we are recommending that the monitoring and evaluation of the first 18 months be conducted. Impact studies also be conducted on improvement of hits on the database, and then sample collection to continue in this phase as well. I mentioned the oversight body, and just in relation to that, we think that the fundamental rights of people have to be protected with the National DNA Database, and in this regard we require an oversight body. Now, it should consist of the South African Human Rights Council, the Department of Justice, Health, DCSFs, an NGO, the Civilian Secretariat for Police, a member from the South African Society for Human Genetics. We're recommending that an appointment of the board be the responsibility of the JCPS Cabinet Committee with the final sanction of Cabinet, and that responsibility should include oversight of the implementation of the legislation process, as well as overall governance and integrity of the national database. The other responsibilities of the oversight body should include monitoring, performance, conduct, ethics and privacy. The board must review all future applications to access data and samples for forensic and non-forensic purposes to ensure standards are maintained, ensure public accountability and transparency. And ultimately, the board must report to Parliament on an annual basis. Now, the DNA registration we recommend must also be subject to parliamentary review every 5 years to address any gaps, technological needs, and scientific developments, as well as human rights transgressions. In conclusion, this policy recommends that South Africa establish a national DNA database as a criminal intelligence tool to aid in fighting crime, to enhance public confidence and take into account people's constitutional rights. We know that DNA is not the only source of evidence, and the policy does not pronounce it as a silver bullet over efficient police investigations. However, it is scientifically sound, and in terms of evidentiary value, it is especially beneficial. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that. General, do you want to talk us through the implementation plan? Is there copies for members available?
I didn't make copies, Chair. My apologies for that. I didn't distribute the copies, but perhaps maybe we can put it on the screen if that's possible.
You can put it on the screen, but can we ask that you make copies available? So if you've got a hard copy here, that we can give it to the committee.
Okay, there is a hard copy, Chair.
Okay, that they can just make copies for members as well, please.
While the copies are made, can I perhaps talk to some of the issues on the bill?
Okay. You can continue with your with presenting as long as you can put it first on the overhead. That's fine.
Let me get a stick.
Members, let's take a 5-minute break so that we give them an opportunity just to put up the presentation, and then 5-minute break. It's now 10 o'clock, we start again.
Get a copy of this, there it is.